It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus was happening. How y'all doing? It's Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn is here as well. It's all brought to you by BetMGM Sports Nevada. With exciting college and pro football action every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style. You're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. And in addition, don't forget, we're at Mandalay Bay every Saturday to bring you the analysis of all the best games. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. As always, please gamble responsibly. Guessing lines for week number 13. That's what we're here for today. For those who are just landing on the show, it's a tribute, a nod to the old Stardust show of the same ilk, where I'm in a cocoon, guess what the subsequent lines weeks are going to be, and then Chris Andrews tells us what he's actually going to post at the end of the show here at the South Point Hotel Casino. And within that exercise, we hope to extract value. Jason, good morning to you, man. How are you?
Good, Gil. How are you?
We're good. All of us survived. We're all survivors.
Yes, exactly.
103 entries left out of 1,390. There was 105 going into Sunday.
One person picked the Rams.
And one person didn't submit. So 103 left.
I wonder which is worse.
103 survivor entries left, and everybody got through. It didn't matter who you picked. And so we'll talk about that as we go on today. But let's bring him in to the show. The star of the show, ladies and gentlemen, he runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook. My mishpocha, Chrissy Andrews. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good, Gil. Very good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. You guys had a ridiculously great Sunday, didn't you?
We had a ridiculously great week from Thursday on. And I always, listen, I've been doing this a long time. Everybody knows that. But Thanksgiving Day is oftentimes a bloodbath for bookmakers. But you got like four free picks almost. You bet against Detroit, you bet on Dallas, and you bet over in both games. And I've been fading that for years. And even this last year, I mean, there's only one game that upset the apple cart there, and that was Dallas losing. But we wound up with a really good day Thursday, and it just kept going. And yesterday was the culmination of a very good weekend.
What was your single biggest winner yesterday?
The Raider game.
What do you make of the Raiders? Good God, we got to get to them.
I'm sure we will. That was that. I have like a grading system that I use. Let me see here. And the Raiders had the worst. I know they had the worst grade. They were even 3 points worse than the Broncos. That's how bad they were yesterday.
Oh my, yeah. There's a lot of bad teams in the NFL. Then there's a group of teams in the middle. You have no idea. Are they good, bad teams? Bad, good teams? You just don't know what they're getting every week.
Yeah.
All right. Let's not forget. Tonight we have a game still in week 12, Seattle at Philadelphia, where Seattle now is 6.5-point favorites. Tomorrow we think, but we don't know, that we're going to get Baltimore at Pittsburgh. That's up to 10 now in favor of the Steelers. I have no idea if that's going to happen or not. We'll get to the. Do we have the Adam Schefter tweet that just came out recently about this game? We have no idea if this is going to happen at this point with Baltimore. But here's what Adam Schefter had to say about this, and it goes a little something like this. NFL canceling Ravens practice schedule for this morning per league source. Ravens last practice the Saturday before the Titans game, currently scheduled to play in Pittsburgh on Tuesday night. Ravens travel plans in flux with snow forecasted in Pittsburgh on Tuesday a.m. So read into that what you will. But let's start with Thursday night, week 13, and try to see if we can maybe have some thoughts here heading into next week.
There's a Thursday night game?
Is there a Thursday? Oh, there's not. No, that's Thursday, right. It got
game.
Scuttled.
Yes. It moved to Monday.
That's right. Dallas-Baltimore. I'm sorry. Dallas-Baltimore got moved to Sunday. Sorry. I got to keep up with all this.
I think
stuff.
I moved to Monday.
Or to Monday. Right.
To
so
Monday.
We have a double header Monday.
Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern.
See, I knew all this last week. It's all that Survivor madness this weekend. Yes, that's Monday. we think at this point, though that will be contingent on what happens tomorrow. Okay, so we'll start Sunday morning then.
Okay, before we even get to that, let me just tell you, there's no lines anywhere on that Dallas game, so don't, you know, Dallas and Baltimore.
Yeah, hold on one second.
That's the Monday game, so don't.
Yeah, it's Gil Alexander, Chris Andrews. This is a numbers game right here at VSiN, guessing lines on a Monday morning. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No line there.
Well, I was going to say, don't save time for that game on Monday. There's no lines anywhere. No one even knows, you know, what the hell is going on right now with Baltimore. So.
Okay, Sunday morning.
Yeah. Sunday morning. First up, the Lions with a new coach against the Bears, who didn't look so great last night. Lions and Bears.
Turns out Mitch Trubisky's still not that good at football, huh? Detroit at Chicago. Detroit 4-7. They did in fact fire Matt Patricia and their GM Bob Quinn. Matt Patricia's final record with the Lions 13-29-1. Remember Jim Caldwell before that was 36-28. 36-28, they fired him. General manager Bob Quinn, 12 games under 500 over five seasons. The Lions, as you mentioned, get crushed by Houston 41-25 in a game that wasn't that close. In a game, again, that was marked by the Lions lollygagging at the end of both halves. In the first half, down 9, just refusing to realize they had 3 timeouts in pocket and just absolutely used none of them. It made no sense what they did at the end of the first half. Just let the clock run from a 2nd and 10 with 46 seconds left all the way down to 25 seconds. Punted, got sacked with 17. It was terrible. And then at the end of the game, yeah, they probably weren't going to win, but they got it from 24-16. And then they just decided we're just going to lollygag down the field too. We have no clue about what we're doing here. And that's probably why that was the final straw for Patricia and Bob Quinn there. So Detroit is in that situation. They're 4-7, extra rest. I suppose I'm supposed to say that. And then Chicago last night, they were pretty terrible against Green Bay. The final score was more cosmetic than anything, 15 unanswered at the end for the Bears and Mitch Trubisky. But they were not good last night at all. Trubisky, 26 of 46 for 242, looks better on paper than it was. 3 touchdowns, 2 picks, sacked 3 times. David Montgomery, 11 for 103, a lot of that on one big carry. Robinson, the best player on the team, 8 for 74, 2 touchdowns. But they were minus 3 in turnovers. They only had the ball 22 minutes and 17 seconds against the Packers. They get crushed in that game, 41-25. As I said, not as close as it seemed, as 8.5 point dogs. Closing was 8 on that. I'll say Chicago minus 3 just because I don't know what else to make it.
Well, you're light. It's 5.5. I see 1-6. That my power rating came to 5, and it's kind of a difficult thing with the Detroit situation in flux. But the Bears really looked awful last night. But I still make them. I made them 5. I'm an opening at 5.5. That's pretty much where I see, although I do see 1-6 out there.
The issue with that game, of course, and the reason I have a 3 and you have a 5.5, is because we don't know who's playing, right, for Detroit. Will Amendola be back? Forget Amendola for a second. Will Kenny Galladay be back? Will DeAndre Swift be back? That will make a bunch of difference once you have multiple bodies back like that. So, okay. I'm not gonna go too crazy about that difference because, again, the Lions, we don't really know what we're getting. What's next?
Okay, before we move on, I want to, maybe some people on Twitter can help me out here. I started thinking about, because Patricia obviously wasn't doing the job. He deserved to get fired. He was a terrific coordinator, though. Let's not take that away from him. But what I look at is when these guys hire coaches, they're hiring a head coach, except for 2 exceptions, they hire coordinators who are doing really well. It's not the same job being a coordinator and being a head coach.
Right.
The head coach has multiple people under him that he's trying to get the best out of those people. So I went through it, and I probably missed somebody, and that's I'm asking Twitter to correct me here, help me out here. The 2 guys who were not coordinators that have head coaching jobs, probably the 2nd and 3rd best coaches in the league, and that's John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin. Now, is there anyone else out there who was not a coordinator? And Harbaugh arguably was the special teams coordinator. But, that's not a glamour position as a coach. And I just wonder if there's anyone, any other ones out there, because you see some of these guys, you know, like Jason Garrett. He was a hell of a coordinator. He wasn't a very good head coach. I mean, we'd run down the line, same thing. And I always say the same thing. It's they all look great on the way in. They don't look so great on the way out.
Right. You know,
but I'm just wondering if there's another coach who was not a coordinator.
It's a great point, Chrissy. And also, you know, I asked this of Lombardi, of Michael Lombardi, a couple weeks back. Do we know, like, because one of the hot coaching commodities you hear out there is a guy like Eric Bieniemy. Well, we have examples of Chiefs coordinators not doing so well as head coaches, right? Like, how do we know that he's any different from anybody else? Maybe he is, but I don't know that he is. You're right. It's a different gig.
What about Vrabel?
Vrabel, great. No,
that's a good one. I don't know if he was a coordinator.
I thought Mike Tomlin was defensive coordinator in Minnesota. I've got to look it up, but I thought he had coordinator experience. He wasn't defensive.
I think it was the linebacker defensive back coach. I don't think he was like the coordinator. I might be wrong.
Yeah, I'll double check
that. But you know, he certainly didn't get that job for being such a brilliant coordinator. That's not what got him the job. But Vrabel, you might have a point there. I didn't think about Vrabel. I thought he might have been a defensive coordinator.
Mike Tomlin was the defensive coordinator for the Vikings for 1 year, 2006. So yeah. Just for 1 year. That's on there. And then in the case of Mike Vrabel, Vrabel was defensive coordinator for the Texans for the year before, at least for a stint there.
There you go.
Yeah. But briefly for both of those guys. All right. Anyway, next game.
Yeah.
What do we got on Sunday?
Next game, Bengals at the Dolphins.
Bengals at the Dolphins. Oh, the Bengals. 2-8-1. Could have taken out the Giants and Survivor, but couldn't do it. Had the ball. Couldn't do it. You want to talk about coaching records? Zach Taylor, 4-22-1 in two seasons with the Bengals now. How about this? They're 1-13-1 in one possession game since the start of last season. Let me repeat that. 1-13-1, one possession games. The Bengals, worst in the NFL since the start of last season. Brandon Allen, 17-29, 136 in his debut against the Giants. Zach Taylor said he's going with him next week against the Dolphins. Said he gave us a chance. Did some things. I love that. Did some things. Football coach speak. One touchdown, one pick. Yeah. He was sacked twice. The Bengals had a grand total of 11 first downs, 155 total yards of offense, 40 rushing. And they were -2 in turnovers against the Giants. They were out time of possession, 37-26 to 22-34. And remember, one of their scores was a kickoff return for a touchdown from Brandon Wilson, 103 yards. And despite all of that, they got within 2 points with 2:33 left. Oh, man. And then Brandon Allen fumbled while being sacked with 57 seconds left to seal it for the Giants. And as I said, Zach Taylor said, I'm sticking with Allen. Miami beats the Jets. That's not breaking news. Jets go to 0-11. We'll get to them later. Miami's now won 6 of 7 since starting 1-3. This was Ryan Fitzpatrick, not Tua Tagovailoa. Tagovailoa was inactive with a left thumb injury. The Dolphins now 7-0 when leading at halftime this season. Ryan Fitzpatrick was 24 of 39 for 257. Two touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 4 times. Devontae Parker was had 8 catches for 119 yards. Now, I'm not saying the Jets would have won this football game, but did you see that Devontae Parker catch that was ruled a catch even after replay on the Dolphins' first go-ahead touchdown drive? This might have been the worst call in NFL history. And I really am not given to hyperbole on this stuff. This was awful. He got a 19-yard catch despite not appearing to ever fully control the football before Guidry knocked it out of his hands for the Jets. Adam Gase challenged the call. TV replay seemed to support the Jets' argument, but it was upheld, and the Dolphins scored 4 plays later. And I'm just like, the Jets are not only bad, but they get the screw job of the year on that. I'm like, this is terrible. And you never know how plays like that, because that was a third down play. You never know how plays like that can change a game. Jason Sanders, by the way, kicked field goals of 54 and 51 yards for the Dolphins as well, giving him an NFL leading 8 from 50 or more yards. He's like Justin Tucker light. He's that good. I'll say the Dolphins will be 10-point favorites here. No less.
That's what I made it. I see it higher. I see 11 and a half. Take your choice. Both numbers out there. I'm going to open 11 because, you know, Well, they do have a lot of one-score games, the Bengals. They've managed to blow every one of them, but one, I guess, in the last 2 years with Taylor at the helm. But, yeah, I think they'll probably, you know, 10, 11, we're cutting it pretty fine there. But I like the 11 better than the 11.5. And, by the way, Brian Flores was not a coordinator. So that guy who I think is doing a hell of a job.
All right. Those are two non-exciting games, by the way, to start things off. What's third?
Colts at the Texans.
And you are posting, what are you posting for the Dolphins game again, just for record keeping?
11. I'm open 11.
11. Okay. Colts at the Texans. 7-4 Colts at the 4-7 Texans. Indianapolis losing to the Titans and therefore getting knocked out of first place in the AFC South. That now belongs to the Titans. Titans crushed them 45-26. We'll get to the Titans momentarily, but that was all-out destruction in the first half. Indianapolis allowed more points in the first half of that game, 35, than they had in any full game this season. They were outrushed in the first half, 229-56. They allowed 346 total yards in the first half. Phillip Rivers, 24-42, 295, two touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked once. Then there's Houston, extra rest, as we mentioned, beating the Lions handily. Deshaun Watson with a pair of go-ahead touchdowns in the first half, threw for two more scores in the fourth quarter to have the Texans pull away from the Lions, 41-25. Remember, J.J. Watt had the pick six. Deshaun was 17 of 25 for 318, four touchdowns, no picks in that game. Will Fuller, the fifth, his biggest target, 6 for 171 and two touchdowns. But the Texans were sloppy. Remember how many penalties they had in that game? And there was a bunch declined as well. So in the end, it was 10 penalties for 74 yards. But, I mean, they were just shooting themselves in the foot. It's just the Detroit was so bad, it didn't matter. They were plus two turnovers in that game. And they had the trick play late. Indy at Houston, huge game now for Indy as they're out of the top spot and they're in the wild card mix. After that Houston performance and the extra rest, I don't think Indy can be that big of a favorite here, even though, again, doesn't matter that you're on the road, but I'm not sure that that's factored in here. I'll say Indianapolis -3.5.
For the first time in the show, I like your number better. It's 2.5, the Colts.
Ooh.
My power ratings come to 5.
Wow.
If you look back at this Texans team, now they have two wins against the Jags. They have a win against a rudderless ship in the Lions. And then they beat the Patriots, which is pretty good. Okay. That's their four wins. I think it's a classic, buy low, sell high moment. Because the whole world saw the Houston Texans win on Thursday, like I said, against a rudderless ship. The Colts looked awful yesterday. I don't forget the last play, last significant play of the game, they tried the onside kick and the guy returned it for a touchdown. So there's an extra 7 points against them that, not really an aberration. So I think that number, I like 3.5, certainly a lot better than the 2.5. But my numbers come to 5. Right now, I see the game 2.5, two spots with a little bit of juice on the favorite, one spot 3 with the juice on the dog. We do everything 11 to 10 at South Point. Everybody knows that. I'm going to debate that one. If that 3 holds out there, I'm going to open it 3. If not, I'll open it 2.5 because I know I'm just inviting an action if I don't.
Yeah.
But I'm probably going to open 3, but we'll see.
I'll lay the 2.5 if I can find that on Indianapolis. That total.
I think you're buying low and selling high on the tech.
Yep, I agree. Let's try to get one more in here.
Jacksonville at the Vikings.
Man, these are barn burners, huh?
I know.
Jacksonville's 1-10, but they had the ball with a chance to tie it up yesterday against Cleveland. Would have had survivor implications, or at least would have forced an overtime or a frenzy at the end of the game in regulation. Jacksonville 1-10 now. They set a single season franchise record by losing their 10th consecutive game yesterday. And they fired their GM, by the way, Dave Caldwell.
Yeah.
The owner, Khan, says that Doug Marrone is safe till the end of the year. Oh, that's wonderful. Caldwell's been the GM since January 2013, presided over only one winning season. Jags 39-86 in his tenure have lost 10 or more games in every season under Caldwell, except 2017. Remember that glorious season where they got to the, you know, AFC Championship. Glennon, Mike Glennon yesterday, 20 for 35 for 235, two touchdowns, no picks, wasn't sacked. Robinson, 22 for 128 and a touchdown. Colin Johnson, 4 for 96 and a touchdown, but all for naught. Couldn't get the two-point conversion. Browns beat him by two. And then there's Minnesota, who, like so many games yesterday, looked like they were dead in the water, and then not so much. They beat the Carolina Panthers yesterday, 28-27, huge for any possible playoff hopes for the Vikings. Joey Sly missing a 54-yarder for the Panthers with a second left. That after Jeremy Chinn of Carolina had two fumble recovery returns for touchdowns on two consecutive plays the first minute of the third quarter. I said, I've never seen that in my life, and there's a reason for that. Only one other player has ever had two fumble scoops for touchdowns in a game ever, let alone two consecutive plays. Kirk Cousins, 34 for 45, 307, three touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. He was 12 of 15 in the fourth quarter for 136 and two touchdowns when the game was decided. Jefferson, Justin Jefferson, 7 for 70, two touchdowns. The Vikings win it besides, despite being minus two in turnovers. Those two turnovers we talked about being the difference. Three turnovers for the Vikings in total. I'll say Minnesota, it's Jacksonville. It's got to be more than I'll split the difference between 7 and 10. I'll say minus 8.5, and we'll come back and we'll get Chrissy's response coming back on Guessing Lines right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Numbers Game brought to you by Manscaped. Best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside the brand-new Perfect Package 3.0, which makes for the perfect gift this holiday season. Not really sure why I sung that, by the way, Jason. Just felt like it.
It really added to the read.
Thank you. Don't forget, tis the season of Manscaped to get yourself, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0, which also includes the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing deodorant, and moisturizer. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code VSIN20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code VSIN20. Clean it up down there. Make Santa proud this year. We get tweets. At Beating the Book. Do you know that we get tweets, Jason? We get tweets at Beating the Book.
So I hear.
Yeah. We'll get Chrissy's response to Minnesota Jacksonville. Jeff Holdorf, holding court on Twitter. Thoughts on the prearranged draw in the Tyson Jones Jr. fight? Caveat emptor betting exhibitions. Fortunately, it was positioned late night Saturday to be viewed for what it was. Throwback entertainment, not a betting event. Snoop was hysterical as an analyst. I would disagree with that. Here's my take on Tyson Roy Jones Jr. the other night. Two old men fighting was sad at times. It really was. Two, Snoop wasn't all that funny, but people acted like he was. Three, Israel just kept cursing the whole time on the broadcast. Four, Michael Buffer can't hold a note as long as he used to. So let's get ready to rumble. And then five, it was completely a prearranged draw. You could see it on the judges' scorecards coming up. Like Pacienza was all in on Roy Jones Jr. from the beginning. Second judge was all in on Tyson. And the third one just crept it up towards a draw as it was going. I was like, this is total draw about to happen. 8-1 on the draw, by the way, for those who were able to bet it far away places. Kevin Bender, 23. Is there a reason the Ravens game gets moved back and possibly canceled, but the Broncos have to play without a real quarterback? Both are COVID issues. It's because Baltimore is a more popular game, or is there a real reason why Broncos couldn't push their game back too? Listen, I'm kind of on the other side of everybody on this. You hear everybody saying, oh my God, the Broncos got screwed if Pat Bowlen was the owner, blah, blah, blah. I don't agree with that. The NFL has kind of been consistent on this. Big Ben was on COVID-19 reserve list. He had to get 5 days of negative before he could play. Matt Stafford was on COVID-19 reserve list. It's the problem was that it happened to the Broncos too close to the game. And so those guys didn't have enough time to get five negatives before. They'll play next week. Those quarterbacks will be eligible, but I'm not sure why everybody went to the most recent thing about the Ravens. The Ravens was a full outbreak. This was not a full outbreak. The Ravens is like what the Titans had earlier in the year. So now you can say the NFL is making up, you know, and I said it earlier when it happened to the Titans earlier in the year, that the Titans were being treated one way with the full outbreak. But Cam Newton, remember the Patriots at the time, they had to play a game at a competitive disadvantage with Brian Hoyer at quarterback. Remember that? This is what that was. So, yes, you can quibble about what makes an outbreak and what doesn't, but this was clearly more akin to that than it was to anything else. Chrissy, how do you see that? Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, here's where I think you're wrong. I mean, everybody knows the quarterback is the game right now.
Right.
And they had four quarterbacks, you know, you wouldn't let play. I mean, it was a slam dunk. You know, this team could not win that game. And I don't think that's in the best interest of the NFL. Then they tried to bring in the quarterback's coach to activate him. And they said, well, no, you can't do that because you can't be hiding players on your, coaching roster. Well, I get that under ordinary circumstances. This is far from ordinary circumstances, and you can go all the way back to March. It's not been ordinary circumstances. So I think in that case, the league just said, yeah, we're not going to set a precedent for this, and everybody needs to know that. But this is a rare, rare circumstance. They should have let that guy play or move the game to Tuesday. You know, I mean, I think the NFL blew it with that. Yeah, you don't want a non-competitive game that you know beforehand is going to be non-competitive with two teams taking the field. I think that's ugly for the league. I think that was a terrible decision.
I think you're right that it's a non-competitive game, and I think it's a terrible decision for the league, but I also think it's consistent with what they did before, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, so to do that, they would have to have been inconsistent, because I think you're right. It's a ridiculous game. By the way, the Saints at minus 1,000 or whatever they were yesterday might have been the greatest bet in the history of sports.
Yeah.
But
well, I put it up minus $15, and the guys were betting me Denver. I'm thinking, are they out of their mind?
We'll get to that. But I think both things are true. I think what you're saying is true, but I also think what I'm saying is true, and I think the rest of it is kind of narrative. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think I am. Patriots had to do the same thing. We'll see what happens with the Ravens tomorrow night. We will get Chrissy's reaction to Minnesota-Jacksonville, which I know is the next game, I promise you, right after the break, right here on a Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To a Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed immediately delivers quality candidates from our resume database when you upgrade your job post. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. It's Gil Alexander. Jason Connors here. Jason, you had a great point, though, about the New England example I gave, which is, and we said it at the time, how is it that no one else got infected but Cam? So they had their other quarterbacks, right? They had Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham.
He just happened to be isolated anyways.
Yeah,
that's convenient.
Now, that is a good point. That's what I was saying about Survivor. I said this about Survivor last week, even before this stuff happened this weekend. Remember I said, now is the point in Survivor where you're almost more worried about late-breaking COVID stuff than you are about the game itself you're picking. Both are now equally harrowing.
I think the COVID handicap has got to be the primary.
Well,
COVID, then injuries. Then
yeah. Pain. Which means you got to wait as late as possible to play all of these. Anyway, Chrissy, I'm sorry. Just wanted to point. By the way, we're getting tweets about Andy Reid also not a coordinator, Chrissy.
Right.
From our discussion before.
Good one, yeah.
Was an assistant head coach, but never
long,
a coordinator.
Long time ago.
Yeah. All right. Jacksonville and Minnesota, I guessed 8.5.
Good. We've got two segments. We're in the third segment talking about this game.
I'm sorry. He got sidetracked.
My power ratings came to 11. Ooh. I see the game anywhere from 9 to 10. tens with the juice on the dog. I'm going to open 9.5, but I got to tell you, if I see this thing creeping up, I'm going up because I think, you know, the Vikings game, you know, I know they pulled out a late victory, but you give up 2 defensive touchdowns in 10 seconds?
Brutal.
I mean, to the same guy? I mean, I'm sorry. You got to kind of throw that out of your handicapping. If it happens, it happens. But you can't handicap for that. You can't let that those 2 scores affect your number that much. But I like the higher number. I'm going to open 10.5. If I see the 10s hold or go to flat, I'm going to go to 10 myself.
Okay. Yeah, nothing more to be said there. Okay, next one.
Your team, the football team.
Yes.
Versus my team, the Steelers.
Oh, geez, maybe not so yes. The football team, man, did they make, weren't they great flying around on defense against the Cowboys? Man, that was funny. Then the Cowboys, then the Cowboys decided to just try a 4th and 10 at their own 24 with over 12 minutes left, down 4, and that was it. Katie bar the door. Washington has won 3 times in their last 5 games. They're atop, at least until tonight. The Eagles can retake the lead in the NFC East. Washington is in a tie with the Giants, although technically the Giants beat them twice, so the Giants would actually be atop the NFC East. Anyway, you get the idea. The Skins, Washington football team, 4-7. Alex Smith was 19 of 26 for 149. Didn't do all that much. 1 touchdown, 1 pick, sacked 3 times. Antonio Gibson, 20 carries for 115, 3 touchdowns. And Terry McLaurin, 7 catches for 92. And, of course, the rundown of Jalen Smith to prevent the tying touchdown before the Cowboys had to settle for a field goal there in the second half. They were 7 of 13 on 3rd down. They were 1 for 1 on 4th. Had a time of possession advantage over Dallas, 35-56 to 24-04. You know, okay, great. Now they're playing the Steelers. The Steelers, again, we, you know, sight unseen this week. We don't know if they're playing the Ravens tomorrow night. We shall see. But Pittsburgh's got to be at least a double-digit favorite here, right? I'll say 10.
I see 9.5, but mostly 10. You know, I'm going to go ahead and open 10. I think it's a shade high. I only made it 9.5 myself. You know, your team is playing some pretty decent football. Of course, my team is too. But, you know, they have a laying down against certain teams. You know, this looks like a perfect spot for them not to be that up for it because they've been on pins and needles since last Thursday trying to figure out if they're actually playing their division rival. And if they beat them now, which I think they will if they actually play, I see a possible letdown spot for the Steelers. So I wouldn't want to get too far ahead of myself here. But I think 10 is a decent number. That's what I'm going to open.
All right. Just from a fan standpoint, these games are awful so far, the ones you've told me. What's next?
Yeah. Okay, here's one. Raiders at the Jets.
Raiders at the Jets. Boy, what do you make of the Raiders? I mean, there's a few of these teams. We'll get to the Rams and the Cardinals later. But the Raiders, Derek Carr yesterday, 22 of 34 for 215, no touchdown passes. He was picked off once. It was a pick six, Deion Jones. And he lost 3 fumbles, was sacked 3 times. 3 fumbles lost. The Raiders had a grand total of 12 first downs against the Atlanta Falcons in what was a absolute drubbing, 43-6. And the Raiders were 3.5-point favorites in that game. So again, 12 total first downs, 40 rushing yards, 5 total turnovers, minus 4 in turnover difference. They were flagged 11 times for 141 yards just for good measure. Now they're 6-5. They did the exact same thing last year, Chrissy. They were 6-4.
Yeah.
They got beat by the Jets 34-3 at this point last year. Exact same thing. Now they're 6-5 on the outside looking in. And then there's the Jets we talked about earlier. They're 0-11. They're the 15th team to start 0-11 since 1970, since the merger. 11-game skid is the 2nd longest in team history. 1 game short of the losing streak in 95-96 teams under Rich Kotite. And whenever you reference Kotite, you know it's bad. 14th double-digit loss in 2 seasons under Adam Gase. By the way, Gase appeared to reclaim play-calling duties from the offensive coordinator. Didn't work out. Darnold, 16 of 27 for 197. No touchdowns, 2 picks, sacked 3 times. 9th career game for Darnold with 2-plus picks. They're 0-9 in those games. They had a grand total of 10 first downs against the Dolphins. They were 3 of 13 on 3rd. They were zero for one on fourth. They only had 260 total yards. But it's the Raiders at the Jets, and I'll make it quick. This we have last week as a reference point. The Dolphins were about a touchdown favorite. So I'll say the Raiders will be about a touchdown favorite. I'll say minus -7 on the road.
Yeah, it's more like 7.5, although I see some with the juice of a dog at 7.5. You know, I like the 7.5. I like it even higher than that. You know, I mean, let's not forget how horrible this Jets team is. And I feel like one of those Olympic skating judges. I'm just going to throw out that last game of the Raiders, throw out that score. You know, just let, games have a chance. Yeah, they can take a life of their own. And I think they did with this Raider game. So I'm just going to throw that one out of it. You know, just non-existent. And I think this number really should be a lot higher. Like, don't forget how just absolutely horrible this Jets team is. So I'm opening 7.5 only because I see some sevens around. If I see this creeping higher, I'm going higher.
Do you trust the Raiders in Survivor? I'm saying, I'm putting this out to the world. If you're in Survivor, you trust the Jets haven't won since the Eisenhower administration.
You have to consider them.
Yeah.
You have to consider them.
You have to consider them. They're part of the group. If you have Pittsburgh left, you'd have to consider them. I mean, we've had a lot of big numbers already. Minnesota against Jacksonville, we already talked about. You'd have to consider them. Jeez. Miami, if you still have them, you'd have to consider them against the Bengals. I mean, like, every game we've gotten to has almost been a potential Survivor pick. Wasn't a thinning of the herd yesterday in Circa. It could be next week because there's a mine amongst them. It's a minefield. There's definitely a mine amongst them. We'll come back. More guessing lines week 13 with Chrissy next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
New BetMGM customers have a chance to win $100 when you place a $1 wager on the Seahawks or Eagles to score a touchdown tonight. Sign up and use bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of the offer. Get ready for showtime. Download the app today and use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Seahawks or Eagles to score a touchdown. New customer offer paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, as always, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in the state of Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. It's Chris Andrews, everybody. My mishpucha. We're guessing lines for week 13. So far, Chrissy, if I just like sort of stop and double back for a second, the only thing I've really liked is if you're telling me you're giving me the Colts at minus 2.5 at Houston, that's the one so far. But man, do these games,
I mean,
those four games I just mentioned to break for like close to double digit, if not double digit favorites, all Survivor possibilities. This will be an interesting week. Interesting week.
Yeah.
All right. These are still early games now. We're still talking early games.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is next?
Hey, here's a pretty good game. Saints at the Falcons.
Saints at the Falcons. All right. So the Saints were the beneficiaries yesterday of what went down with the Broncos. And again, the Broncos' three eligible quarterbacks, Drew Lock, Brett Rypien, and Blake Bortles, all were each deemed to be high-risk COVID-19 close contacts. None of the three were allowed in uniform for the game yesterday. That was announced Saturday night. Denver's statement didn't say who the players came in contact with, but Jeff Driscoll is the positive COVID-19. At least initially, they didn't say it was Jeff Driscoll, but they were all in a quarterback meeting together. Vic Fangio, Broncos coach, had previously said that running back Royce Freeman would be the team's emergency quarterback. Instead, they went with former Wake Forest quarterback turned wide receiver Kendall Hinton. Got him off the practice squad. That didn't go so well. And so Circa reopened the line at New Orleans minus 13. Where did you reopen it, Chrissy?
15.
Yeah, went to 14 quick, then 14.5, 50. You opened it at 15. Got to 17. by the end in favor of New Orleans.
Yeah, let's do it.
That wasn't high enough. New Orleans ends up beating the Broncos yesterday by the score of, what was the final score? 31-3. And Sean Payton went, you know what? We're not going to do anything on offense because we're not going to even risk making mistakes to give you guys a chance. The eighth straight win for New Orleans. Taysom Hill in the end was 9 of 16 for 78 yards. No touchdowns. He threw the one pick and that was the end of that. Was sacked 3 times, 10 for 44 on the ground, 2 touchdowns on the ground. He had a passer rating of 43.2. Remember, that's at a 158.3. At halftime, the Saints and Broncos had both combined for 1 yard passing. Wow. Latavius Murray, 19 of 124, 2 touchdowns himself. The Saints, since the start of last season, 7-0 now without Drew Brees. And then there's Atlanta, who we mentioned crushed the Raiders 43-6. Atlanta moves to 4-7. Remember, Dan Quinn was scuttled. So the order of events this year with coaches was Bill O'Brien, coach GM, first with the Texans, then Dan Quinn and his GM Dimitroff next until yesterday when it was Patricia and the GM as well in Detroit. But Deion Jones returned a pick yesterday, 67 yards for a touchdown. Remember off Derek Carr, Matt Ryan threw a pair of short scoring passes. Falcons thoroughly dominated Derek Carr and the bumbling Las Vegas Raiders 43-6. Remember, they played without Julio Jones and without Todd Gurley. Still crushed them. And then Young Hui Koo connected from 38, 39, 30, 29, and 54, stretching his field goal streak to 21 straight. Ryan was 22 of 39 for 186. Didn't have to do much. 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, sack once. They were +4 in turnovers, as we mentioned. Jacob, Tuioto, Mariner, sack, two fumbles forced, 2 fumble recoveries. Okay, this is interesting because we know that this will not be Drew Brees. This is the last of 3 games where Drew Brees absolutely may not play. They're estimating that Brees won't be back the next week either, when he would technically be eligible, but they're saying probably an additional week.
Do we really think they're being honest with us about Drew Brees?
They haven't been from the beginning, have they? 11 cracked ribs. Almost half
this
a rack.
This is all they just need to know. They're just telling us as little as they possibly can tell us about Drew Brees.
You're right.
I think he'll be in the booth by the playoffs, unfortunately.
Now, here's the thing, Chrissy. After Taysom Hill's, you know, half of it was game plan yesterday, half of it, you know, I don't know how we're going to interpret that. But I guess what I'm trying to sort of talk myself into now is New Orleans is going to be a favorite, but they can't really be that big of a favorite here, right? So I very gingerly will say New Orleans -4?
Well, you're a shade high, although, once again, I like your number better. It's 3 juice on the favorite, 3.5 juice on the dog. I'm going to open 3.5. Like I said, the Saints were completely under wraps yesterday. I'm throwing that game completely out.
Yeah.
You know, the Falcons, like I said, sometimes games take on a life of their own. And that's what happened in that Atlanta game. You know, let's not forget, they're still Atlanta, and they're playing a lot better now with Raheem Morris as the head man. And I think it's a team that probably should have been this good all year. But you mentioned what the Saints are 7-0 without Teddy Bridgewater.
Without
Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Teddy won 4 of those games in it. But anyway, so I'm not lowering them that much just because Brees is out. So I like the higher number. You know, like I said, my numbers came to 5, maybe 4, depending on how I look at a couple things. But I think 3 is too low, and I think 3.5 is even maybe a shade too low. But I'm going to open 3.5 just because I see some lower numbers out there.
Can we get a good game, Chris? Can you serve up a good game? Wow, these are just...
This one isn't bad. Okay, this next one. The Browns at the Titans.
Oh, well, that is, at least, again, I'm just talking about from a fan's perspective, like, you know, real-life playoff implications. That's a game right there, right? 8-3 Browns, 8-3 Titans. Now, I think the Browns are a paper tiger, but still, 8-3 Browns at the 8-3 Titans. The Titans now lead the AFC South. The Browns improved to 8-3 for the first time since 1994 yesterday. And again, Jaguars had the ball, needed a 2-point conversion to tie it up late, couldn't do it. But that's the first 8-3 start for the Browns since 94 when they were 11-5 under Bill Belichick. It's their most wins, 8 in 13 years. So congratulations, Browns fans. Baker Mayfield actually put some stats up yesterday, 19 of 29 for 258. I guess that's something based on where he was before. 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked twice. Nick Chubb, 19 for 144 and a touchdown. Jarvis Landry, 8 catches for 143 and a touchdown. Browns had 459 total yards, 207 rushing. But again, it was against the Jaguars. Yeah. And so, you know, like, what does that mean? And then there's Tennessee. Tennessee with the AFC South lead, as we mentioned, beat the Colts yesterday. Derrick Henry in the first half, 17 for 140 and 3 touchdowns. Ended up 27 for 178 and 3 touchdowns. The Titans, as they typically do, 229 total rushing yards. Fill up the rushing part of the stat sheet. Colts were missing 3 key starters, including Pro Bowl defensive tackle DeForest Buckner, who was on the reserve COVID-19 list, though, yesterday. And the Titans took complete advantage of that. With 35 minutes and 33 seconds of the clock, Ryan Tannehill didn't have to do much. 13 of 22 for 221, 1 touchdown, no picks, sack once. And A.J. Brown, as you mentioned earlier, 4 catches for 98 yards and a touchdown and a special teams touchdown at the end on the onside kick, which made the score look even worse than it actually was. The final score of that game between the Titans and the Colts, 45 to 26. But that was destruction. It was 35 to 14 in the first half. So this is the first good game marquee-wise on paper. I'm all about Tennessee. That's the one team I've consistently had. We do our top 10 rankings, our power rankings on primetime action on MSG+. I've always been higher on Tennessee than everybody else. I remain high on them. This can't be quite a touchdown. I'll say Tennessee minus 6.5 here.
Oh, wow. You're still high. It's 5.5. I see a couple fives. But this game opened 4 last night, and it's been on a steady climb ever since. I can't say I disagree with that. You know, I do like a lot of things about the Browns. I think they have a really good lineup, up and down. I love their coach. You never know what Baker Mayfield you're getting. You know, if it's good Baker, they could absolutely win this game. If it's not good Baker, then, you know, they won't. You know, what do you say, 6.5? I don't want to say I like your number better. I don't. Because I thought this number, I thought 5 was a good number. I thought the 4 that opened last night was just too late. But I see 5.5. I'm going to open 5.5. I think that's okay. Because the Browns do play some close games. And, you know, I think, like I said, if good Baker shows up, they got a chance to win this game outright. So I'm going to go with 5.5.
Yeah, if we had done this show last night and I'd heard the 4, I would have been incredulous about the 4. I don't know how you feel. Cleveland is among that group. Well, no, they're not actually. Like, to me, Arizona, the Raiders, the Rams. Like, from week to week, I have no idea what I'm getting with them.
Right.
Cleveland's a little different.
I agree with that.
Cleveland's a little different because they've played all these inclement weather games, and they played Jacksonville yesterday. Like, I kind of think I do know what they are. Like, I just don't think they're that good. I could be wrong. But, like, they're not scared. Like, 8-3 is the total paper tiger record, you would agree, right?
Yeah, like I said, it just depends on what Baker you're getting. If he shows up playing as well as his potential is, I think they're a very good team because the rest of that lineup is they have a strong roster and a good coach.
See, I think that's where we
Baker's
might
inconsistent.
That's where we might disagree because I just don't think Baker's all that great. I think in the end, and maybe it's too early. Maybe he ends up being great, but like right now, I think he's just not good more than he is inconsistent.
I think you got to give credit to Stefanski. He's really coached that team well.
Got a great running game. They've made they play who's in front of them. And certainly the weather has been an issue with them. Had some COVID problems as well. They haven't had Myles Garrett. So I'll give them credit. 8-3. Nothing to sneeze at. But I like Tennessee there in that bowl game. We'll come back. We're a little more than halfway through Guessing Lines Week 13 in the National Football League with Chris Anders right here on the Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.